You're listening to Transponder, a podcast about two transitioning adults after 2 years of transition, and they talk about transition and other people's transitions. Cool. Alright, okay, alright, here we go. Harley, I'm Regina, stealing hearts like a criminal. Super sexy transitors.
They're really smart and strong, they've got an audio blog.
Thank God the theme song isn't that long.
Go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina, go, go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina, go, go.
Welcome to Transponder, episode 73.
You can find us on the web at www.trans-ponder.com. This is Mila.
And this is Jaina.
Jaina. So, I love that artwork you did for the last episode. The What If episode.
Well, thank you very much.
That is really cool.
For those who don't know, I've been putting up images with each posting of an episode now, so you can see those on trans-ponder.com.
Although we did get some argument as to who the author and artist would have been for that particular episode, and debates about whether or not certain artists are qualified to tell our story.
Well, it's a what if, so
yeah, it has to be some people.
It's irrelevant.
But anyway,
I think the artist was Jesus, Santa Claus, and the Easter Bunny.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
Especially it was written by Stan Lee.
Of course. Did you see that they had, the DC Universe as written by Stan Lee?
I did. We saw that at the comic book store. I get that.
I love that Flash was a girl.
Yeah, that's cool.
Super cool.
So, I don't know. I'm going to check it out on Amazon and see if it... Yeah, see what people are saying about it. I'm one of those people that actually looks at what people are saying rather than,
just randomly buying stuff in the store?
Yeah, usually. Well, I did. I got the P.T. Barnum in the Secret Service one.
That had some really neat artwork in it and some, really cool ideas, especially, Tesla being a villain.
Yeah. So I got that one. And I also picked up Going Sane, which was basically the Joker kills Batman.
Which was also awesome.
And he got nothing to do, so he starts going sane and becomes an accountant.
Ends up doing some work very similar to my work. Except not with trans people.
It didn't really specify who he was working with, Mila.
Oh.
He might have been working with trans people for all you know.
Could have been. That would be really interesting. So, wanted to announce that we have a new forum up online by popular demand. We have been working diligently to put in a forum, the Transponder Bulletin Board.
Has the demand really been that popular? Because...
Well, it was. We did have a poll on the Yahoo group.
Yes, most people said... One person said, no!
Keep your hands off my
bulletin
board.
We're not getting rid of the Yahoo group.
The Yahoo group will still be around, and that will still be active, but now you have an additional
We just won't
option.
Participate in it anymore.
Yes, no. We will. We will. We're just adding more of a workload to ourselves.
What are we doing to ourselves?
It's meal
work. What's a podcast have to be work?
It's fun work, though, and it's
Can't
good
Can we
work.
Get interns to do this stuff?
Hey, would you like to be a Transponder intern? If you would, send us a voicemail.
If you'd like to be Jaina, for the purposes of all the menial tasks, such as creating fake comic book covers,
yeah... I don't know, it's awesome. We got a lot of good, really good feedback on the
I would
last
say
couple
that
episodes.
By itself, a podcast is a full-time job.
With
each of us, it's a part-time job. with both of us working together on it.
Right. We both do about 20 hours a week on the podcast.
Yeah. That's what I would say.
So I feel that it is really awesome when somebody tries to take it on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of which, we have a new, we talked about last week, one of our listeners, Lori
from Tucson,
doing a podcast, yeah. And there are now two episodes up, and I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the last episode, and I thought it very interesting, you know, just to hear a conversation with oneself, with one's male voice and one's female voice talking back and forth with each other. That was kind of neat. It was like having two people on a podcast with only one person doing it.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'd like to hear more of that. I'd like to have a whole show that was just somebody talking to themselves.
You're hearing it now, Mila.
Oh, that's right. We're the same person.
That's right.
Just some sort of split personality, and we're using some trickery of radio to talk back and forth with each other.
Right. Trickery of radio. Yeah.
That's what they call it. On the internet. Speaking of internet, I need to talk about something that is on the internet currently called, Gender Blender. And this was a program.
It's from Crush Planet.
Crush
and
Planet.
It is by the people who did Taxicab Confessions.
So
we actually talked a little bit about marketing and stuff when we were at
the
Trans March. So we kind of, I guess in a way, to be a little consulting.
Yeah, well, this was something where we were approached.
Not for pay, but.
Yeah, we were approached because of our media status and because of, interaction with the trans community. And basically the initial approach was like, hey, we've got this the show, and can you help us talk about it?
I was a little wary because, you know, the kind of little bit of the ambush style nature of Taxicab Confessions. I was like, I don't know about this. This doesn't sound...
I was a little bit wary because, I mean, here you have some, you know, the previous programs that were done by these people have been in the really edgy market. Some of the, you know, some of the stuff that was put out was, I guess, what you could be considered exploitation, television, where mm-hmm. it's like taking people's, real raw nature and just throwing it out there to the public. So when they approached about this new show, Gender Blender, it was like, what are we going to see when we actually, you know, go on to this? Is it going to be something that's really raunchy, or is it going to be done classy? And I do have to say that I was pleasantly surprised by the first episode that we watched to see that it really was done rather tastefully. I thought that the people that spoke were good representations of the type of pageantry. I mean, basically, the storyline follows this pageant. There are these transgender women who are competing in the pageant. And so it follows their lives.
And
as
so
they
I
go
thought, oh, you know, transgender beauty pageant. You know, also I thought, oh, this isn't going to be. But, you know, it's like the trans women, they're trans women. They had, like, you know,
normal lives
and things to talk about and, you know, and ideas on. You know, the trans experience, and so
It was really interesting to see somebody, to see the perspective of someone who is very much into the appearance end of transition, because it's something that, I mean, when you're talking about a beauty pageant, the way that you win a beauty pageant is by being the most beautiful, or, you know, they have those, like, skill competitions and stuff like that, but,
and it was like, you know, if you could wish for anything, what would it be? And then you're going to say, world peace.
Or, I wish for safe bathroom access.
World peace. I think whenever they say world peace, like world peas should drop from the ceiling and like cover them like the green slime. Kind of like on that, remember that show, You Can't Do That on Television?
Yeah, I remember that. They're like, what did you say?
That's what it should be like. He'd be like, yeah, take that, Miss America.
It was, yeah, I totally think that there should be
$10,000 evening gown.
Yeah. So, interesting stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was, I was not what I was expecting. I was expecting kind of, but it was better.
Instead, it was decent. I mean, I think that the real big comparison.
It was like pretty raw, wasn't it?
It was pretty raw.
So, or audio sweetened or any of that stuff.
Yeah, we're seeing a pre-released copy of it, and you know, I thought that it was very well done. The people that they interviewed, I mean, mostly we're talking maybe non-native English speaking people, so some of them have some pretty thick accents that maybe are a little bit difficult to understand, but it was interesting to hear that side of it, because it's something that we don't often experience, because most of the media that's out there...
You mean kind of like the Latina?
Yeah, Latina or the Asian...
I like the Latina transsexuals.
Yeah,
they always seem like so... Like, I don't know, they just seem like very confident of themselves.
Empowered, very empowered.
Yeah, and it seems like they find themselves like just very young, and they're just like, this is what I am.
Yeah. And I love that. You know, I think that's a great example. It was interesting, though, that I found that because we've been in the trans community so long, you know, at this point, you know, 2 years in the trans community, yeah, it doesn't seem like a whole long time, actually. But, you know, and that's actually, there's probably a year before that of kind of interacting on the internet and stuff like that.
I guess, yeah, I think I know what you're going to say, the fact that transition has become pretty pedestrian and mediocre.
Yeah, the things
that... So there's not that sort of, you know, I mean, that sensationalism thing or that, like, fantasy, unattainable goal thing you're looking at anymore.
Right, whereas...
It's like, I've already done that, so...
Yeah, I think probably 2 years ago, if I watched the same program, I would have been just glued to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the things they're talking about, like, the validation of... You know, I always felt that I was a girl, and, you know, it's interesting because their stories really match just so many people in the trans community. And so to hear that, like, it's just more reinforcement of this is the same thing that everyone is going through. And so that experience is, like, really, enticing. And, I think that it's interesting because perhaps the filmmakers, when they're making this, when you're hearing those statements and having never been exposed to the trans experience, that's fascinating. I mean, that's just like an absolutely fascinating topic. Like, really? You wanted to be a girl? You know, so I think that that's why we don't see a lot more of what I would consider to be the exploitationist side, which is like, you know, there's that whole like...
Well, from what we had seen so far, I hadn't seen any of that, so...
Yeah, I hadn't seen any of that. It was very, very much like very tasteful, so... I'm interested to see where it goes.
I wanted to be like on the warpath. I was gonna be like, exploitation, ha!
Yeah, Jaina was totally looking for something to yell
at.
No,
I wasn't really. I had it over my head. But experience tells us that, you know, when there's a trans topic done by non-trans people, it's usually not, you know, I don't know, it's just not.
It's usually not done as classy. But this, I think, it was interesting just because the topic of a trans beauty pageant.
And it's kind of like, you know, having seen Taxi Cab Confessions, which I actually kind of liked.
You know, I really enjoyed it too. And I think that it was because of it being so raw. And honestly, the thing about that was that you're talking about a static camera. Right? Just recording somebody just being a total...
Well, like, you know, it's like in Taxi Cab Confessions, it was like always like a, you know, a street economy worker that was trans.
You're talking about like people who are in a position where they're already being exploited for their, you know, just for sex or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very sad.
And it's like, you know, that's kind of that stereotyped... view of trans people.
Right. So it's good for us to get other images out there because, you know, there's so many of us that are not in street professions. And I totally...
I mean, me and Mila are, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, most of our listeners aren't.
Yeah. And, you know, we totally respect everyone else who's in our trade of being in a street profession because...
I think it should be legalized.
I totally think so. It should be legalized. And I'm not joking about that. I totally think that it should be legalized because...
Yep, I agree.
You know, there are so many people that are in it, not because of choice, but because they're...
For survival.
They need to eat. They need food, they need shelter, they need clothes, and it's the only way that they can do it.
And if you're a trans person who can't get work and you're into that trade, then you shouldn't also be punished for it because you've already been punished.
Right. I mean, you're suffering enough as it is. Why do they have to keep arresting you and throwing you in jail and, you know, accusing you of, you know, being a drug dealer because of your estrogen?
Right.
You know? And, hey,
and if
this
you
happens,
chose to do it, then, hey, supply and demand. So, meeting a service. So, I, you know what?
Hey, obviously somebody's willing to pay for it. So, I don't know. It's a tough question, but it seems to work in, just outside of Las Vegas. I mean, why is it that they can have prostitutes?
Because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
But apparently, according to Zillafag, the Zillafag show, I was listening to his thing, and he was talking about flippers.
He said, like, you know, prepare for warm weather. I heard Vegas is really cold, though, so I'm bringing a parka and a scarf.
Don't bring any cool clothes. Make sure everything is, like, bundled up.
Thermal underwear. Yeah. Some of those oxygen tanks that they use on Mount Everest.
Yeah, this is going to be
I think
cold.
I pretty much know when Zilla Fag is pulling our leg.
Yeah. But he was talking about flippers.
Vegas is cold.
They throw cards at you because they're not allowed in the... apparently, within Las Vegas itself, they're not allowed to hand you literature that talks about prostitution, but they can throw it at you.
Ow!
Yeah, that's the flippers.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Isn't that littering? If it bounces off you? If it bounces off you, are you responsible for littering, or is the person who threw it at you and then it bounced off you responsible?
I don't know. Is it like the last person who touched it?
That's what I'm thinking.
Or would it be considered like assault?
Hmm.
Because if, like, somebody's throwing something at you, it's like assault with a deadly paper cut.
You mean like literature, like put on a brick?
Hey, this is your brick sandwich analogy, right? Make a brick sandwich with literature and throw it at people.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Awesome. For all those of you who don't know, we are going to the Podcasting Expo, the Portable New Media Expo.
Wow, you almost said podcasting.
Oh, jeez. They removed that name. Portable New Media Expo. Oh, and hey, starting...
ever since podcast became not cool, I don't think Apple has really...
Yeah, not...
made it a present, so I think they named it... They probably renamed it just because Apple stopped going.
Yeah, they didn't show up. Podcasting awards are coming up, though. Nominations, I think, are starting next month. So, hey, if you think that our show is good, nominate us for a podcast award.
If you think our show sucks, nominate us for a podcasting award, too.
If you don't listen to our show, nominate us for a podcast award. We can win something cool like a...
Do you realize we're the only transgender one in the LGBT featured?
On iTunes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're up there with, like, Dan Savage and stuff.
Yeah. Dan Savage is cool. He was on This American Life. Talking about his gay...
Is he American?
Because
Americans aren't savages.
Maybe.
Speaking of Savage, Michael Savage apparently...
kicked off the air?
Got kicked off the air in like Missouri or something like that.
And why was he kicked off the air, Gina?
Well, apparently insulting blacks didn't do it. Insulting gays and trans people didn't do it. But apparently once he started insulting autistic children, finally someone complained.
So, you know, all the gays and lesbians and African Americans, they
yeah,
can all get
all
kicked
like,
out.
Oh, right? Black people, yeah. Take that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dykes.
Stupid trannies. Yeah. Whoa, autistic kids, you went too far.
So apparently that was too far, though. And I think that's because it affects not only people that, you know, don't have any say.
Right,
because
that's something that, well, come on, doesn't like homosexuality cross across all family lines, ethnic lines?
Yeah, you would think
transsexuality
that would,
is where as well, but you would think autism, you know, is such. I don't know.
Because everyone has, you know, it's actually autism is becoming very predominant in our society. It's, you know, it's up to, like, I think it's like 1 in 150 or something like that. So
there's more trans people than that, then.
Yeah, there's more trans people than there are autistic kids.
So transism is becoming really prevalent in our society.
Yeah. Just that we're invisible.
It's just interesting that, you know, you can make all kinds of racial comments and misogynistic and homophobic and transphobic comments, but
inciting,
that's what gets you.
Yeah, inciting violence against trans people. I mean, seriously. But, you know, I think that the comment that he made that really stirred people up was that these kids were just faking. And it's like, no. No. That's just totally off base.
Yeah.
Nobody fakes being autistic.
Is any like a homeopathic botany type person or something?
I don't listen to a word he says because he's a jerk.
Because isn't that more fake than autism?
Oh boy. So, yeah, I'm glad that he's off the air.
You know what? I challenge him to come on our show, and if he doesn't, he's a coward. That was me hitting a desk.
Yeah. I think that let's make sure that he gets on our show. Hey, voicemail lines are open. Email is open. He can give us a call, or he can send us an email. Let us know how he was wrong and we were right. And
haters are always big cowards, anyways.
Yep, they never want to come on people's shows because they know that they're going to get torn apart. Maybe we could sit him down in a room with Karen Savage. That'll be the Savage.
She's our attack dog.
Yeah. It would just be a giant Savage fight.
Yeah. We'll ask Dan Savage to moderate.
Yeah. We got to go in. Okay, now we've got a plan. So if anybody knows, any of these people involved, let us know so we can get them all in a room and just have the Savage show. That would be cool. That would be a cool, like, regular show.
Interesting. You got a Savage who's gay, a Savage who's trans,
and a Savage who's a bigot. Right?
And probably get closeted gay.
Probably.
And his son makes that Rockstar energy drink.
Oh. Ew. I heard that's really bad
Michael
for your liver.
Savage, not Dan Savage's son.
Yeah, I heard that's really bad for your liver. All those energy drinks.
Probably.
Which, you know, you gotta take care of your liver if you're on lots of spironolactone.
Really bad waste of money.
Totally. They just spike you up and drop you down. And that's it. Speaking of doctors, we had our annual checkups.
Annual checkup.
So it has been a year since our last official visit to the doctor.
Actually, it's been 13 months. We were late because of our move.
Yeah. So stretching it out there.
So we got our estrogen lowered because we had a two-year mark and we got no more testiculars
to hamper us.
Yeah.
So that was very exciting because it means less money on estrogen, and I am really happy about that. Plus, less stress on the liver, which is important. The healthier your liver is, the longer you will live, and the better off you will be.
And the better it'll taste with onions.
Oh, liver and onions.
So also, well, wait, did we have to do anything else? It was pretty standard, right? Breast exam.
Yep, got a breast exam. I got chastised for not doing my regular breast exams because got to be doing it on a monthly basis, and I've been a big slacker.
Tisk, Camila. So I have not been a big slacker.
Yeah.
I'm actually fairly good about it. I'm not super diligent, but I do it.
Yeah. You are much better than I am about that. But I will try and be better in the future. And that's something that that all of you out there in transponder land who have any sort of breast tissue should be doing regular breast exams. regardless of your gender identity, if you have that tissue there.
Even trans males.
Yep. Unless you get them lopped off, because...
They don't lop them off.
I know, they do it very skillfully. And I would, you know,
that
actually
would make a bigger scar if they lop them off.
I talked to some trans guys about it, and they said that it's very, that you have to be very careful about what surgeon you
pick. She's covering her tracks saying, oh, I talked to some trans guys about it.
Yeah, I'm totally trying to cover my tracks because it just sounded totally bigoted to say, like, lopped it off. No, seriously, they have to find, like, very skilled plastic surgeons that can construct the chest properly, because otherwise they just look like they have giant scars.
Hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about if he detransitioned. I was like, see, I don't know if I would like that so much because you're shorter than me. Then I thought, but if I was dating a trans guy, they'd kind of get a pass.
Right.
But someone born biologically male, I wouldn't give them a pass on being short, even though that's also not their fault.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, and that's my thing, is that, like, I tend to like to date people that are taller than me, just regardless.
I'm taller than you.
Yeah.
You're short. I'm puny.
I'm not puny. Yeah. Although, like, apparently I can't hit anymore.
No, you can't. But you do have Allen wrenches in your purse, so that's pretty tough.
Yeah, you said something about me being a total dyke because I had Allen wrenches and a wrench.
I was impressed. You had an Allen wrench and a wrench in your purse. A crescent wrench.
Adjustable. Yeah.
I didn't even know what a crescent wrench was until I saw it.
Yeah. And here, I had it in my purse. I was just like, hey, I need the Allen wrenches. And you're like, where are they? I'm like, in my purse.
I'm like, what? Do you have Allen wrenches in your purse?
You know, it has been a dream of mine ever since I saw the Doctor Who episode with Sylvester McCoy, in which they were, like, aliens, and they were, like, they were at this, like, this place where they were doing this rockabilly, like, revival kind of thing, and there were these motorcycle people, and...
Sounds bad so far, okay.
One of the girls had Allen wrenches in her purse. And because, you know, the doctor's like, I really need an Allen wrench. And she's like, what size do you need? Do you need metric? Do you need U.S.? You know, do you need a spanner? You know, it was awesome.
Oh, what's that? Ace?
No, it wasn't Ace. It was just some random, like, you know, side character.
Oh, because that sounds kind of seems like something Ace would.
No, Ace would have explosives.
Well, yeah, but yeah, seems like she'd be all around. Good to go.
Yeah. But I just thought it was really, like, an awesome thing to have Allen wrenches. And actually, one of the reasons why I carry Allen wrenches in my purse is because I rollerblade. And if I have a problem with my wheel and I have to remove a wheel, like, on the side of the road, I need to have an Allen wrench in order to do it.
Oh, there's a practical reason?
There's a practical.
Like, better when you're just a dyke.
Yeah. But having a crescent wrench in my
purse...
Yeah,
I didn't used to like it when you used the word dyke. I'd be like, that's like a bad word.
Are you getting to like it now?
I'm okay with it. It's cool. You know? Well, it's like, you know, most of the time before I transition, I'm essentially in straight society.
Right.
And so when you hear dyke then, it's like effing dyke. You know what I mean? It's like pejorative.
Right. It's specifically used as a slur.
Right.
Right. I getcha.
Whereas... in the community, it's kind of more like...
It's like an empowerment word.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, there's
it's kind of like, yeah, tough girl, capable of taking care of herself.
Yeah. I've actually heard of trans men, like, being really sad to have to give up that title, you know? There are,
really?
Like, trans men who are just kind of like, you know...
Well, trans men seem to have more access to lesbian
culture.
Community than trans women do, who identify lesbian, which is interesting.
It's interesting, like, how that all works out. I think there's a lot of gray area when it comes to that. And, you know, I was actually having a discussion this morning with one of my coworkers about just the identity, identifying as a dyke, regardless of your sexuality or your gender. That I totally think that somebody could identify as a dyke and be a dude.
Okay. I kind of think of, like, you know, dyke, though, as, like, woman.
But I think it's a presentation. I think it's more of a, like... I mean, it comes out of being, like,
but how does a guy
culture.
Present dyke without just presenting guy? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, a guy could identify themselves as dyke. I'm not saying that somebody's going to assume that they're a dyke.
Okay.
It's just like, you know, a straight guy could identify
as a lesbian.
Well,
yes, I guess. I suppose he has the freedom to identify however he wants.
Yeah,
he has the freedom to identify as a hippopotamus.
See, now you're turning it into something ridiculous, and I told him it's serious. I used to identify as a lesbian.
Wait, what do you identify as now?
A lesbian. So, regardless of my gender...
But you always had a female identity.
Yeah.
So, okay, I guess a guy could, if he had a female identity, then in a way, any trans woman who is not ever, who's trying to pass as male is kind of, right?
Yeah.
Could kind of push themselves in that category if they so chose to do so.
So if somebody is a pre-transition,
but I don't see dykes as necessarily manly either. So,
no, I think
you know what I mean?
It's not necessarily manly. You know, but I mean,
this
there
is the problem of labels in the first place.
Is that there are too many ifs, ands, or buts?
Yeah.
My headphone's going out.
Huh?
My headphone is going out on the right hand side. I can't hear out of this ear.
Oh.
Up there it went. It came back.
I think that one's got a short in it.
I think it totally does.
And the padding has gone off them too, so they're in bad shape.
This is what we call going behind the curtain. That's an official radio term that I learned while I was in broadcasting school.
And facts and figures.
It means that you're revealing that there is equipment involved.
Okay. So speaking of dykes, so we actually have the results from the poll on transsexuality.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So I didn't make people identify whether they were trans male, trans female, but most of our participants in the group are trans women, it seems. So
it makes sense.
And I didn't police. I just said, you know, if you identify as trans, I said, I'm not setting any kind of categorization of, you know, where you're at in transition or whatever. So
yeah, purely about your own
identity.
None of that.
Mm-hmm. So we had heterosexual, attracted to the opposite gender from which they identify, was 17.24%.
That's a pretty low number.
So homosexual, so either gay or lesbian, attracted to the same gender as to which they identify, 20.69%.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. Bisexual. Boy, girl, big deal. 44.83%.
Wow.
Asexual, 6.9%. Undecided, 10.34%.
That's really interesting. So, I find it very fascinating that we have so many bisexual listeners. Or at least participants in the Yahoo group.
Well, if gender is mutable, you
then,
know what I mean? I understand it completely.
Yeah, and yeah, I think this is something that we've broached on the subject before, of just this idea that once you start changing your own gender, how can you really confine your partner to a specific gender?
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, like I didn't even know there were gay identified F to M's, because my only, you know, only people I'd really known were the ones who were kind of came from lesbian community.
Right.
And I thought, like, you know, certainly if there's a gay identified F to M, they must be anomaly, but that's not the case.
No, it's not the
case.
I'm
finding there's quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot more of us.
Just add hormones. There's a line in there. He makes a joke. He goes, what do you call a gay man without a penis? The answer was lonely.
Oh.
Sad. No, it is sad.
That's really sad. Well, you know, a lot of that, though, has to do with the policies that are put in place on these dating sites that won't allow trans men to be on gay dating sites.
Yeah, there was some issue with some gay dating sites that wouldn't allow gay-identified trans males.
Yeah. So...
And I think as trans people, we're particularly hurt when there's exclusion policies within LGBT community.
Absolutely.
Versus, you know, the heteronormative.
Well, we can be angry at heteronormative communities when they exclude us. Because it's like, oh, you're just being phobic, right? But when it comes to, like, the LGBT community and somebody's being exclusionary, it's like, whoa, what the heck? You know, like,
yeah.
You're supposed to understand me. You're supposed to be part of my group.
Well, this is often the HR thing that I don't really understand. Peter Toscano got really upset about that. He said it kind of really made him angry. But he did say our theme song is hot. He likes
awesome.
The theme song. So, once again, good work. Debbie?
Yeah, that theme song just grows on me. I listen to it on the BART train just to be like, get my day going every morning. I just throw on the Transponder theme song.
This is interesting. You got this from Ethan. Where, I guess, you know, because they had the gay marriage ruling there, where mm-hmm. they said that out-of-state couples could now marry in the community.
Yeah.
And I totally support gay marriage, like, 110%, because, you know, it's in my best interest to do so, really.
Considering that you we and are I
same,
are...
We are a same-sex couple, even if not in a legal sense. And, you know what I mean? And these steps forward... better protect us from having our marriage invalidated.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we can get federal recognition of same-sex marriages, then we won't have to worry about ours being questioned. Even though we could defend it, it's still a pain in
well,
the butt.
Well, there's also the possibility that, you know, the religious right could start closing those loopholes.
Right. Which is, you know, something that we got to be careful of.
You know, the reason there are loopholes is the fact that they're making gender such a prerequisite.
Right.
For marriage.
Although,
but anyways, what Ethan said, I guess some you know, public figure said, in Massachusetts, equal means equal. And so Ethan said, unless you're transgendered, now gay people from out of state can be married. How nice for them. In the meantime, the Employment Non-Discrimination Hate Crime Bill for Transgender People is still in committee. I can go to a wedding and be murdered for being trans and it won't be a hate crime. I can be fired from my catering job by a gay person at their wedding and have no recourse to file a discrimination suit. Sounds equal to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it angers me that we have states that still do not have hate crimes bills to defend trans people. That are actually passing...
In only, 19 states with transgender protections?
Yeah, I just wish that there was also more push for equal...
Well, rights. I kind of wish that it was considered as much of a priority.
Yeah, and I think that's the feeling, is that, oh, hey, you know, trans people are not worth as much, you know, in public. You know, in jobs or, you know, their lives are not worth as much as someone getting married. I think is what the statement in Massachusetts is.
Yeah.
California.
It seemed to kind of be saying like, well, this is the final step for all, like, for full equality for everyone, I think was kind of the way it was put.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone is equal. Equal is equal. It's like, well, wait a second. You know, whereas in California we have strong non-discrimination laws against discrimination against trans people.
Well, here's the scary thing about the Proposition 8 is the fact that you're going to have a majority trying to take away the rights of a minority.
Yeah, you know,
simply by majority
me.
Vote.
It worries me because it takes the same number of votes to pass a constitutional amendment as it does to pass just a law or, you know, proposition, right?
So why bother ever passing laws or propositions?
Why not just edit the Constitution every time we want to do something, right? I mean, that's basically the message that people are sending, is that
we can just edit it the same.
Well, I mean, not only that, but think about how this could affect other people's rights. Even if you're not gay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a bigger thing, I think, than gay marriage itself, is the fact that, well, now any minority's rights can be stripped away
right,
by a majority vote.
Let's say that we want to discriminate against someone who is Iranian, right? Well, we could just write it into our constitution, right?
Well, let's get rid of that misogynation.
Yeah. It's
misogynating.
It seems like somebody could write in and say, well, you know, they could write sodomy laws back into the constitution.
Yeah.
You know? And all of a sudden, it's illegal to be gay in California.
This is bad.
It could be really bad. And I think that the message should be that it should be more difficult to edit the Constitution than just a simple minority or majority.
Yeah.
Because that's just wrong. The reason why the Constitution is there is to protect the minority.
Right, to keep the tyranny of the majority out of our lives.
Yeah. So.
But we're getting way too political, aren't we?
Of course.
Let's talk about our hair. we got our hair done the other day.
Yeah, I got a haircut. Jana got a haircut. And I accidentally tipped way too much.
Mila tipped like $10. I was like, yeah, why'd you tip so much? She's like, well, I'm tipping for both. And I was like, I already paid.
I was like, what?
I said, that's why your bill was so low, because you were just paying for you.
See, I thought I was paying for both of us. So I tipped like $10 because it's like $5 per hairdresser, which is a generous tip. And I believe in generous tipping for the first time that you go in for an appointment so that they treat you nice the next time you go in, right? Because everyone always remembers the person that tipped them well. Well, I think they're really going to remember me.
I guess so.
Because a $10 tip on a haircut is like, whoa.
This is the same place that when Mila said she worked for a law. Mila says, I work for a law firm. Like, are you a secretary?
Yeah. That was really funny. Oh.
Pretty hilarious.
Speaking of funny, so on the new transponder board, I posted up, a forum for podcasts and, you know, just to talk about radio and podcasts. And I put up a post that was like a joke, you know, like, hey, have you heard about this podcast, Transponder? And it's like on the transponder forum. So it's like, yeah, obviously anybody who's there better know about it. And somebody wrote back and they were, I think it was Catherine, right, wrote back and said something about, it's one of my favorite shows, kind of like Transmissions, where they talk about transmissions and other people's transmissions. All right, okay. Kind of a playoff of our theme song. I was laughing hysterically.
Yeah, it's funny.
If I was still lactating, I would have been spitting milk all over the place.
It would have sounded funnier if she said it.
Yeah, she probably would have done a better job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So join up on our board. I keep on saying Yahoo group because, you know, that's what we've been saying for so long, but now we have a message board.
Yes, and anyone is welcome. You don't have to be trans. You can still pop in.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Okay.
So, let's talk a little bit about being a trans ally, because this kind of came up too, about how to be a trans ally.
Yeah, that was a question that came up. Somebody emailed us and said, so exactly how do I be a trans ally? Like, and this is something, somebody randomly emailed me today, or IM'd me today, and was like, you know, they're from like India or something like that. And they're like, so how do I be a trans ally? And it's like,
I have this question too, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there are lots of things that you can do to be a trans ally. What would you say the first thing to be a trans ally would be?
Listen to Transponder.
That is a great first step in becoming a trans ally. But of course, if you're listening to the show, you already know that because you listen to us. I thought, you know, I saw on a forum before, take a trans person to lunch. I thought that was an awesome, like, way to be a trans ally. I know it's a really shallow thing, but buying lunch for a trans person.
Take a trans person to work day.
One of the suggestions I made was to join...
Show them what it's like to have a job.
That is mean. It's so true. It's mean. Oh. I said join a support group, a trans support group, and just be there as an ally.
Uh-huh.
You know? I thought that was really important. You know, we see that at PFLAG. We see people showing up who are, like, straight allies.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just, it's such a morale booster for a group to have straight allies show up, because it's like, wow, you know, these are people that want to help out and aren't even invested in the cause, you know? They're invested because they believe.
Well, I also know that people who aren't LGBT, though, they've sometimes been, like, kind of like, there's that suspicion of outsider.
Yeah. You know, that is, like, it is a challenge.
If it's like a, you know, physical location support group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are closed support groups that, I mean, I don't say closed support, but I mean, like, there are support groups that are intended to be, you know, for trans people only. But basically what I've seen in those is that they allow people who are not trans to be part of the group, as long as they understand that the space is primarily for the discussion of trans issues and that it's sensitive.
Yeah.
You know? So, that can be, definitely an option, is to say that you're there to show support and you're there to be a good ally to those people by, you know, providing education to your friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can educate people at your workplace. You can educate people at your school. You can educate people, you know, at other groups. You know, that's a great way to do it. Fight for causes that we're fighting for.
Well, like I would say, LGBT, you know, if there's LGBT, even local organizations, try to get them to hire trans people, too.
Yeah,
you can't be an LGBT organization if you don't have any trans people.
Yeah, then you're just an LGB organization, right?
Right.
If you're an employer, hire trans people. You know?
Right, there's actually trans, like, employment fairs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I know, at least in San Francisco, so.
If you hear of a trans employment fair coming up, get your company to get a booth there, you know? Actively pursue trans people, because I think there are a lot of really smart...
Actively pursue them. Oh my God, they're chasing me!
In your car.
We just want to help! We're trying to give you a job! Get away from me! Another thing I think is, like, you know, if your organization doesn't have protections for trans, or if your area, well, first your company, you can try and get them to include gender identity,
yeah,
in their policies,
regardless of whether or not they have a trans person working for them. Having those policies in place can be really helpful when someone does transition on the job.
Locally, you can make sure that your city and stuff and local politicians, support gender identity and, like, hate crimes legislation and employment protection.
Yeah, call them up. Leave them a message. Tell them, hey, we support, you know, legislation that protects trans people, right? Safe bathrooms. This is a really big thing, and it's a big sticky point in a lot of areas. If you work in an establishment, advocate for them to have gender-neutral restrooms available. A lot of places have it as, like, a handicap restroom. Make sure that that is available as access to anyone, because there are a lot of people that have ambiguous gender presentations and need to have a restroom that is gender neutral. So safe restrooms, and a really great thing that you can do too is really push for the ability or written policies that state that trans people can use the restrooms based on their gender identity and gender presentation, not on their birth sex.
Yes. Well, we saw in Florida that woman was arrested.
Yeah. For trespassing.
For trespassing. Because she was a trans woman, and in Florida you cannot change your gender, so she had a male on her driver's license. And, yep. So, and she was, you know, really, she's using the most practical restroom.
Yeah, she would have gotten harassed in the men's restroom. You know, situations like that.
In fact, by forcing a trans person to use the opposite restroom, you are endangering their life.
Yeah.
So, it's a survival issue. It's more than just a safe place to tinkle. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big issue. And, you know, Ethan and I talked about that on Radical Trannies. Ethan, the radical guy. We talked about how the fundamentalists really want trans women in their restrooms with them. They really want that. They want to have to pee next to trans women.
They don't know what they want. They're just latching on to something.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's just, you know, picking on gays has gotten old. We're a fresh target.
Right.
It's like, let's mix it up a little bit.
And next thing it'll be segregated bathrooms and... It's separate but equal.
They'll go back to the gays. They're taking a little break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, all right.
It's interesting how we have to kind of almost self-segregate by having gender-neutral restrooms. You know? Because of the safety issue when it comes down to, like, entering.
I'm not using gender-neutral. I don't use gender-neutral.
I don't either. I use a women's restroom. Of course, I work down the hall from a law firm I go to the bathroom down the hall from the law firm that I work for. So I'm just waiting for somebody to harass me in the bathroom. And I can be like, why are you my lawyer?
Why? You present female. You female-bodied by now.
Yeah. I still get a little freaked out when there's a lot of people in the restroom.
Yeah, I noticed that at the movie theater that one time. I was like, oh, that's weird. I don't get freaked out at all.
I know, I guess it's just that, like, I walk into the restroom and there's, like, you know, 10 people in there and it's like, oh,
maybe
geez.
We all carry a little residual baggage.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
those old fears that just don't go away. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe some things are always just going to be hard to let go.
And I think a lot of it is that I just hear about so many instances of bathroom harassment. You know, it's in the news all the time. It's like there's this big battle going on over restrooms. So what else can an ally do to support trans people? So we have advocating for safe bathrooms, for employment non-discrimination, educating people at their work and school, joining up with local groups to show support, supporting an inclusive ENDA, of course.
Absolutely. That's one of the things we need the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Employment non-discrimination is absolutely essential. So what else? I guess being open and willing to listen to somebody without making them feel bad about themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Like being a comforting shoulder to cry on during their hard times or whatever. You know, trans people go through a lot of, you know, emotional and psychological stress because of what society does to them. You know? Every day society is pushing for us to be in this little box that we're not supposed to be in. So if you can provide even a moment of solace for someone who's trans, listen to them, talk to them, be a mentor to them, you know, I think that's awesome. And participate on the Transponder Board. Awesome way to be a trans ally.
Could we pimp the Transponder Board anymore?
No, I think it's thoroughly pimped. I think it's getting late. We should wrap it up. And
I would like to suggest one additional thing. Is call people out on their misconceptions and preconceptions about trans people.
Ooh, yeah.
Or outright bigoted statements.
And if you see something misprinted in a magazine where they're, like, using the wrong pronouns or they're, like, saying negative things towards trans people, report it. You know, contact the newspapers, tell them they're being bigoted, contact GLAAD and let them know so that they can get on it.
It's the Gay and Lesbian Anti-Defamation League, right?
Something like that.
Gay and Lesbians Against Defamation, something like that.
Yeah. But basically the organization GLAAD, they go after these big newspapers and media sources when they start doing things that make the community look bad. Because nobody should have the wrong pronouns used against them in a newspaper. Nobody should be called a he, she, or an it, or anything like that. So,
yeah.
And it's really sad when we hear about that stuff. I mean, the recent...
Fair and balanced.
The recent
Just like
death,
Fox News.
There was a recent death of a trans woman,
Angie Zapata.
Zapata, who is basically being... her death is being equated a lot with Gwen Rajo, who is the local trans woman in California who was murdered a few years back. And a very tragic story. And it looks like Angie Zapata is basically the next Gwen Rajo. It's very, very sad.
Right.
So...
And that's one of the states, that's the states where Focus on the Family ran those horrific bathroom ads.
So, great. Focus on the Family. You're responsible for somebody's death.
Well, it wasn't a bathroom issue.
Yeah, but, you know, regardless, once you start, when you start putting that out there in the public and you start saying that something
I
is
agree.
Bad.
When you start generating fear, yeah.
Then you create an atmosphere in which prejudice is accepted, and you create an atmosphere in which, like, this whole idea of physical violence against, someone is somehow okay because people
well, they
said
essentially,
it was right.
Equated, trans women with sexual predators and pedophiles.
Yeah.
Whereas there are really no incidents of trans women assaulting or sexually...
Doing anything
to anyone in the restroom. It's... When there's a trans woman involved in an altercation in a restroom, it's because she's been attacked.
Yeah. And, the majority of the cases of violence that's perpetrated by trans women are because of situations where people are harassing them, people are attacking them, people have abused them. I mean, they're very rare. It's very rare to find a case in which there's not some really bad provocation, And, the police tend to... over-dramatize things for trans women, and trans women tend to get locked up for a lot of really stupid things.
Well, saw that in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Right? No, it's not a trans woman, but LGBT in general.
Well, that was somebody who does cross-dress, and so...
Part of the transgender umbrella.
Yeah. And we do count that into our family. And so they let some kids sleep on their couch and got arrested for kidnapping. Oh, great. That's an appropriate, arrest there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the parents were drunk.
Yeah, a lot of extenuating circumstances there that the police just didn't care.
Because they want to believe that.
And that's just it, is that when you start to create that atmosphere of predator-prey relationship, then...
Justice loses.
Yeah. It just becomes downhill from there.
Justice becomes a laughingstock.
And what about our religious freedoms?
Oh, not funny. But, all right, well, let's go to bed.
Thank you very much for listening. Join us up on the message forum and send us a voicemail, 320-323-1896. Brick sandwiches.
Yeah.
You can find that by pushing the button a couple of times on the iPod if you're listening to it.
Affirmative.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Hi, my name's Tiffany, and I'm new to the community. But I really like your podcast, Transponder, Transgender Life in the Trenches. I heard that a bunch of other fans were writing songs about you guys, and I thought I'd come along and do the same. So, you'll notice this isn't played with real instruments, and that's because it's hard to play guitar with nails. I mean, I'm sure you girls know, right? Okay, here we go. Highly original. hope you guys like that.
This program is a member of the TransFM Internet Broadcast Network. TransFM.org.
Thank you for listening to Transponder.
You can find us on the web at www.trans-ponder.com.
Leave us a voicemail at 320-323-1896. Brick sandwiches.
Join the author group and get in on the discussion.
Or send us an email.
We are not lawyers, so no part of this show should be considered legal advice.
We are not doctors, so please consult yours before considering any medical procedure.
The opinions stated on Transponder are not necessarily that of our sponsors, broadcast partners, or other organizations.
Our opinions are just that, opinions.
Music is graciously provided by the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.
Thanks for listening.
And good night.